Morning on Saturday, February the 11th. Number of items, thanks for showing up. Almost all guys, barring one. I'm going to call you up two at a time. We have three people for the item number 13, open public input. And I think you all know the rules of engagement here. So Steve Shanewise and Joe Durham, please. You kick us off, Steve.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, Director, thank you for the opportunity to provide public comment this morning. My name is Steve Shanewise, and I am an avid waterfowl hunter who reside in Olympia. And the issue I wish to talk about today is baiting for waterfowl. And about 2.5 years ago, I presented oral and written testimony to this commission regarding the need to change waterfowl baiting rules. Specifically, I addressed the practice of flooding unharvested grain crops for the purpose of hunting ducks and geese, and how this should not be allowed because it presents an overly attractive condition that eliminates the concept of fair chase. Furthermore, I argue that because waterfowl freely move around to find places there is abundant feed and good sanctuary, that if the practice of making corn ponds around a sanctuary lake was not stopped, most of the mallards and geese in the state of Washington would eventually only winter on a few private or commercial hunting lands that provided both. Now, while I thought this information would be enough to compel the people in charge to make changes, the only thing that happened was the advertisements the commercial hunting outfits pay for in the state bird hunting pamphlet were scrubbed of any references to guaranteed limits and instead espoused the values of quality hunting. But no one contacted me. Therefore, I come here again today to ask why this egregious offense to the ethics of waterfowling as a blood sport has not been addressed and rectified. And I hope it is not because the commercial interests that reap the reward of selling a public resource for private profit have so encumbered the commission or other top department personnel that their judgment on this issue is tainted. I will again await a response. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Steve. Yes.
Do you know if there are any health issues for the birds related to flooding unharvested grain?
I don't know that there would be for them going to hunt in the grain fields, but there could perhaps be on the sanctuary lakes where there are now some of these places have over 100,000 birds that sit on their sanctuary lakes, and they can be very small lakes. They only have to be a few acres in size, and what they do is completely protect them from any disturbance or hunting. And then they build these artificial corn ponds around the sanctuary lake, and the birds can sit there on the lake completely undisturbed, and then they fly out a quarter mile to the corn pond that's a flooded field of standing grain, and they slaughter them. And these people are so successful at this that they used to say in their ads they would guarantee 100% success, and they fulfilled that. That means that every hunter shot a limit of ducks or geese, if they paid for it, every single day of the season. That's the definition of hunting a baited condition. In fact, if they switched to conditions that are considered illegal baiting, they could not improve the harvest.
Thank you.
Yes, Steve, I concur, and as a longtime duck hunter myself, I've seen baited areas like that, and I know. I'm going to ask, can we follow up with that, Director?
Well, and I think a simple solution to the problem is that you just make the rule you cannot hunt waterfowl over agricultural fields that have not been grown and harvested in a normal agricultural practice, which is based in federal law. The problem is all of the federal rules about baiting are the physical distribution of grain. This is an artificial distribution by creating flooded fields.
Yeah, and I know some states do it that way in managed areas.
Yeah, and if you did this, I think you should exclude public hunting, because that can be regulated in such a way. It's not for profit.
Right.
It's the for-profit things in private clubs where there's a real problem with this.
I concur, that's not hunting. I mean, that, you know, it's a guaranteed fish or ducks or deer, that's...
Right, it's not hunting, it's killing.
It's killing.
Yeah, yeah, and it's killing for profit.
Well, I appreciate your comments, and we will follow up on that.
Thank you.
And let's see... Robert Sutter and Joe, it's up to you.
Good morning, Commissioner, Director, and staff. My name is Joe Durham. I live in Aberdeen. My contact information is on record. I'm here to talk about the Wyandotte mitigation. I know it follows in the other one, but for the past 23 years, I've been involved in attempting to get the Wyandotte mitigation on track and completed. You will find attachments, a list of documents. There are like 28 or 30 of them. I'm not sure what that many are in there. These are all correspondence, publications, and documents, and publications. The past of years is what I've based, what I've worked on in the last 23 some odd years, or what I feel the responsibility is to meet the obligation of the mitigation by the Department of Fish and Wildlife. You'll find document number 9 on the last item. That would be this one. You look on the last page of that and get into it, and you'll find... They should answer some of the problems that has been said that the Quinaults do not agree to the plan have worked out by WDF staff that was presented to the commission in 2015, 14, and 13, and it's been said that the Quinaults do not agree. Well, you'll find the signature of then Quinault in 1992, their Quinault representative, on the last page of that document, and it still stands, even though it's been said that the Quinaults do not agree, will not sign. At this time, I personally feel that the Wildlife Commission, the director, and all WDF staff who have been involved in the mitigation discussions, planning, and yet have not implemented directions to fulfill the mitigation should make via news media, television media, a public apology. I expect that from you and for not meeting the obligations that have been there since 1993. In February 14, 15, and 2014, 2015, 2016, the commission, after hearing several of us, were told to present and implement the Wyandotte mitigation plan, which several of us worked out to the Region 6 management, Dave Hamilton and Bill Osborne and myself. And I believe that was tried to be explained several times. I don't know if you really had the truth on it or not. All WDF staff since then, been contacted by the committee, that's Dave, Bill, and myself, have attempted to reach out for updates, and compliance to our request and communications have not been heard. I should say have not been responded to. For the past year, we have seen zero communication, email, and phone contacts that have gone unanswered. If WDF refuses to talk to Quinault about the mitigation, allow myself, Dave Hamilton, and Bill Osmond to make contact with the Quinaults. We feel that WDF staff has continually lied to us and given us half-truths more than a few times. There's a little bit more here, but what I base some of this stuff on is, come on, open it. I guess I'm done. Can I have just a couple more seconds? A
couple seconds, yeah.
1, 2. There have been volumes of documents I've seen in PDRs for requests, and I've been charged a couple hundred dollars to get those PDRs, and I have those. And if you take everything that I've got stacked in the 10 disc that I've got from WDFW on the PDR, the stack documents alone stand that high, and 10 discs, and those are all on my computer. If I printed all those off, it would be a list that probably stacked that high. Dealing with the mitigation, but a lot of lines
thanks, Joe.
Redacted. So I ask that you give direction, and let's get this thing done, get this mitigation done, so that we can start meeting the obligation to the salmon and the steelhead that will be put into there, and do the modifications to the trap and get this program operating, because we've only got 22 more years to do it. 23 years have been lost.
Thank you, sir.
Any questions?
Questions from the commission? I know we're going to be hearing other stuff on the Wyandotte so this morning. So
I'll be back on that, too.
Okay. And Ben Rogers and Robert, it's yours.
morning, Commissioners. Thank you for the opportunity to testify. Robert Studar from Longview, commercial advisor on the Columbia. I wanted to share with the Commission today my experience at the Lower Columbia Fish Recovery Board meeting I attended on Thursday in Kalama. They were finalizing an agreement between their board and Washington staff on a plan that they have been jointly working on since 2008. The Lower Columbia group is the most successful of any of the boards established throughout the state in developing plans for wild fish recovery. During the PowerPoint presentation by staff, there were several references to the commercial industry, including rebuilding wild runs to sustainable levels that would be utilized by both recreational and commercial fishermen, and also the important role in their plan that commercial fisheries would be expected to play in helping to remove hatchery fish from the spawning grounds. Before they took their vote, I asked to comment on the current decision by Fish and Wildlife made last month that will remove the non-Indian selective gillnet commercial fishery from the Columbia River. I asked if they realized that they would be losing the commercial fishery that they are obviously expecting to play a significant part in the success of their plan. One member asked why staff had never brought the specifics I mentioned to their attention. Others voiced concerns over how they could achieve their goals if the commercial fishery isn't available to harvest lower river hatchery Chinook and late hatchery Coho, along with abundant stocks of wild origin salmon, if their plan was supposed to benefit all stakeholders. I told them that I thought the plan was good, but that they needed to act now if they wanted to see their work come to fruition. Afterwards, several members spent over 30 minutes talking with me about what I had brought up and what they might be able to do to protect their years of work. I failed to see how the department can be so involved in establishing these regional boards to rehabilitate wild fish runs at the same time that they are eliminating some of the tools that the boards are relying on to achieve their goals. Regardless of a person's opinion on gillnets, the data shows that the commercial fishery has been using gillnets selectively and efficiently to remove hatchery salmon and to harvest abundant runs for years while staying within all management guidelines. It has also been clear that the sport fishery is unable to fill that gap and that escapement of hatchery fish to the spawning grounds will increase without our commercial fishery. The facts on that are clear, and I have never heard Washington staff present any facts at any of the meetings in the report over the last 4 years to dispute that. Oregon staff, on the other hand, has shown that we are helping to remove hatchery fish, and they even called our 6-inch gillnet fishery for Lake Coho a freebie because of the high mark rate of hatchery fish and the lack of other protected stocks in that time frame. At some point, I keep expecting this commission to recognize the chain effects of these relentless attacks on commercial fisheries in Washington. I know that the Lower Columbia Fish Recovery Board sent you a letter in 2012 that voiced their concerns about how the Columbia River policy was going to impact their efforts. But what I heard at the Thursday meeting tells me that collateral damage to other projects, including ones long in the making that have a definite conservation benefit, are just part of the price in pushing sport priority. There is no conservation benefit in what you are doing in the Columbia, no matter how many times you tell yourselves that there is, and you are not going to achieve recovery of these salmon simply by eliminating our commercial fisheries.
Thank you, Robert. Always, any
questions?
Thank you. And Ben, you'll bring an end to this opening.
Thank you for letting me come in a little bit late here. I drove clear from Raymond, and I wanted to make it on time, but it was icy. So I'm coming before you today mostly because of the Forks Creek hatchery, because I grew up on the Willapa. I live down in the harbor, and I have heard information lately that has become disturbing to me. The Forks Creek hatchery does have an egg take total, looked like around 3.7 million this year. However, I'm finding out, and it was more of a question rather than a comment. I have heard that they are only going to rear 350,000 of those eggs at that hatchery and release that number into the river from multiple sources. And if that is the case, why are they throttling back so hard on the egg production, or the egg rearing and release of the Chinook in that particular river? If that's the case, I'm a fisherman, so I see a lot of people on that specific river every year, and I've seen the number of foot traffic, number of people on that river increase exponentially in the past 5 years. A lot of the local businesses become to rely on these people, and if you throttle back production that hard, that's 10% of the original production, then you're going to see a huge decline in numbers of fish on the river, and also you're going to start see fewer and fewer people going down there and taking opportunities of that kind, and it will hurt the economy down there if this is true. I'm just coming to see if this is actually happening. I would like an answer as to why, if possible, and that's pretty much it. So I'll take your comments if you have any, if you know why.
we have a quick answer? Or?
Ron, can you help us out?
Good morning, Chair Smith, Commissioners, Director Ron Warren, Fish Program. So recall the commission policy on the Willapa Bay salmon management, and Forks Creek is a, the Willapa is a primary population. I don't have the production numbers in my head, but I believe the gentleman is either very close or accurate in production numbers, and those are numbers that we are shifting to be able to meet the hatchery reform principles called for in the hatchery reform and harvest reform policy of the commission, as well as the Willapa policy. So a lot of that production has been shifted to NEMA, but it will dramatically modify the recreational fishery in the Willapa River.
Extraordinarily.
Yep.
90% reduction. That's very disturbing to me.
Okay. Thanks, Ron. And thank you, Ben.
Yeah.
That brings to a close the initial open public input.